Every time this day rolls around during the year, I always return to the centrality of the crucifixion and the fact that it is the most important moment in human history. I probably have said this to you before, but it's always something that I think we need to remember. A lot of people, well, let me put it this from this perspective. When you go into a church of our separated brothers and sisters, Protestant brothers and sisters, you will always see an empty cross. And the reason you will always see an empty cross is because in their tradition, the resurrection is the most important moment in the life of the world. And of course, to us, the resurrection is it's an amazing thing. But it's not the first and most important part of what has happened. And what has happened is celebrated today, and I am growing more and more in appreciation that a day like this is even more important than Easter. Now, allow me to say why. You see, on this day that we commemorate, the human race found out for the first time in its history, recorded and unrecorded, the identity of God. Any of you who have heard me either in class or probably in a couple of sermons, you've probably heard me say that God is a box. Now, when I say that to people who have never heard that before from me, it's puzzling. God is a box. Now, why do I say that? Because the term God is a container. Let me give you the example that I always enjoy giving. If I were to say here, how many of us believe in God? I dare say that the significant majority would raise your hands, and I would too. But what if what you did not know is that before I came to Mass, I was kneeling before one of the rocks outside that was, for me, the sacred rock of God. And I believe that my God is that rock. My God is a rock. Or a tree. Could be worshiping a tree. Or the sun, whatever you want it to be. But then, ask the question again. Do we all believe in God? And you would raise your hands, and guess what? So would I. But what's the problem? My God happens to be a rock. My God happens to be maybe a tree. And so the question is, we all can say that we believe in God, but really? Is it the same thing? If I believe that a tree is God and you believe in the God of Jesus Christ, is it the same thing? And the answer is absolutely not. And so the concept of God as a box is because you really have to answer the question, who's inside the box? There's lots of people who have believed in God. Today, tons of people believe in God, but they're not the same God that we believe in. And throughout the history of humankind, people have believed in God and gods, many gods. And they obviously didn't mean what we mean by God. The other thing is, if you were to take a time travel, able to do that and able to go pre-Jesus times, and even a little bit after, and you were to say to someone, who is God? The last thing that they would say to you is that God is love. The last. Because for them, God was reflections of nature. So every aspect of nature had its God. So whenever you were going to engage an aspect of nature, you always wanted to sacrifice to that God so that he would not take the incursion into his territory as a lack of respect. So, for example, most of the time in the ancient world, if you were going on a voyage, the crew, or at least the captain, would make a sacrifice to Neptune. Neptune was the god of the sea. Also, Poseidon was the god of the seas. And so when you were about to cross over from land into the sea, which is the territory of Neptune, you always asked permission and you always gave him a gift so that he would not see that what you were doing was trespassing and kill you in a storm. And so you would sacrifice something. How do you make someone happy? Well, you know, you talk to them and you give them a gift. But you don't give them a trashy gift. You give them something nice. So what could a god want? Well, the god, they thought, the god would think, well, what do you have that is of value that I want? And of course, the things that people had of value then was their property, which included animals, but something even more. They had their children. And so if it was really a special moment, an occasion, human sacrifice was called for. And you were to offer that to God, to the gods, to make sure that they were happy with you. So nobody ever thought that God was love. Nobody. And so when Jesus comes along and it begins to dawn on people that what he is saying, the things that Jesus is saying, now you can't find in the Bible where Jesus says, I am God. But he doesn't say that crudely. He says things that only God can say. He says, for example, I am the truth. Now, what would you think if I sat up here and say, folks, I don't know the truth. I am the truth. You would think that I have gone nuts. And you'd be right. You'd be right. What if I would say, I don't know the way to live. I am life itself. I control life. I'd be crazy, or I'd be kidding, or am I claiming to be God? And what would happen if you went to a funeral with me And at the cemetery, in front of the queue, in front of everybody, I said to the guy in the casket, "Get up." And the guy would get up. Wouldn't that cause you just a little bit of, who is this? What's happening? That the people at that time who knew Jesus were supremely confused by him. They had no sense, because remember, they were Jews. It had the whole notion of what we understand today, after 20 centuries of Christian reflection, we understand something called the Trinity. But in the first century, and for the disciples, if you would have said, "Do you believe in the Trinity?" they would, "What the heck are you talking about?" Because they hadn't come to that. That's why Jesus had to give us the Holy Spirit to help us to learn to interpret backwards what was going on. But the day they crucified Jesus, and now understanding who the man behind me is, that he is no ordinary man, that what you're talking about is God become human. And when, if you listen carefully to what they did to him, they embarrassed him, they slapped him around, they've made fun of him, they stripped him naked, they walked around with him, torturing him as best they could. And then they figured out the worst punishment, because let me tell you folks, crucifixion in the Roman world was considered the worst punishment reserved for the worst people. That's why, for example, St. Paul claims to be a Roman citizen. And so how does he die? They behead him. It was considered merciful. Because when you were hung on a cross, you were there butt naked. You were whipped. There was flesh and blood hanging all over you. And they tied you up there and you couldn't breathe. Because your body weight was dragging you down. And to breathe, you would have to try to extend your feet to try and pull up your chest. And at the very end, if you hadn't died, the soldiers would come around with a big, big bat and break your legs. And so you couldn't even use your feet to hoist yourself up. You'd suffocated to death. And then, on top of that, to make even matters worse for your loved ones, they didn't take the bodies down like they did Jesus, because they made an exception for him. They would leave the bodies so you would walk by, which was why they called that the place of the skull. You would walk by and there'd be skeletons hanging on several crosses. I hope I'm making this as gory as humanly possible, because I want you to understand what we did to God. What we did to God. And why is that so important? Because at that moment, when what happened today, what you just heard, at that very moment, Jesus would have been justified to look at his Father and say, "Father, to hell with all of them. To hell with them. They are not worth it." But what are the words that come out of that man's mouth? "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." For the first time in human history, and you know who recognizes it first? The Roman soldier. A Roman soldier, a pagan, standing right beneath the cross, hears Jesus say that. And he says, "Truly, this was an innocent man. And for the first time in history, it dawned upon a few people that God is love. That idea had never been thought. Never. And that's why what we do today. And so as we start this Holy Week, I want you to remember what happened today. That's the center. And why is the resurrection not the center? The resurrection is important, but it's a confirmation of the forgiveness that was given to us today. The resurrection is God saying, not only do I forgive you, but I'm giving you eternal life. That's why every time you enter into a Catholic church, you see a crucified man. Because at that moment, the entire human race learned the identity of God. We could have never known that by ourselves. That only came into our heads because of what happened today. And so as we begin this Holy Week, I want you to keep an eye and keep your heart focused on exactly what God is doing for us and what He didn't have to do. What He didn't have to do. That at the moment we most deserved to be condemned, the thing that came out of His mouth was forgiveness. We start over.